Taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast, your community resource podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homies, Mr. Patrick Irvin and Mr. Jamie Bouchon. The Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. And PAX Inc., that's spelled PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.paxinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can stay up with the latest shows. You can see our or hear the interviews from our wonderful guests. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Now it's changed. So Twitter and Instagram, we're now Freedom Train Network. So that's at Freedom Train Network on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, we Freedom Train Network. And also, make sure you subscribe to us on, Google Play Music and iTunes. Subscribe to the Freedom Train Podcast on Google Play Music and iTunes. And it's really going down in the South. Pat, Jamie, what it look
what
like?
Up, man?
What's going on?
I'm in here. What's good,
fellas? Man, we chilling. But before, I want to do some shameless plugs before we get in, because we always do them at the end of the show. So let's do our plugs at the beginning of the show. So I want to make sure that everybody, you go to PACTSINC.org, like we just said, PAXINC.org, and support our Black the Way You Came calendars. Hey, Pat, tell them about the calendars.
Well, the calendars come fully equipped. They're actually codes of conduct with calendars in them.
Okay.
It has, you know, various birthdays, prominent black figures, their birthdays in there. It is a full-fledged calendar, a home calendar, so you can do all the little things in the boxes that you want to do. But more importantly, at the top of each month, there is a code of conduct listed, as well as information, black historical information, and various different things that can help us as a community move forward from where we are to where we want to be. So that's the calendar in a nutshell. It's the 2017 Black the Way You Came calendar. We're still selling them in the middle of March because we do it, because that's what we does. And chill.
Yeah. Once again, PACTSINC.org. Make sure you get your copy of my book. Hey, they're selling fast. Only got 13 copies left. So make sure you get a copy of my book, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, North America. You can visit my website at www.ontheshoulders1. And don't type in the number 1, just the numeral 1. Just press that numeral 1, ontheshoulders1.com. Or go to my nonprofit site at ontheshoulders.org. You can get a copy of my book, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, North America. Or you can get a copy of the PDF, the interactive PDF workbook that's a companion to the book that will help you learn more about the people that's within the book. If you like the audio books, you can go to audible.com and type in On the Shoulders of Giants to get the book. If you like the Kindle, you can go to the Kindle website, go to your Kindle app on your phone and download the book on there. Also, when you go to my website, matter of fact, go to the Google Play Store and type in On the Shoulders of Giants, and that way you can get your download of my new app, my African History Curriculum app. Come equipped with 500 questions, 100 profiles, 100 quizzes of the people who are profiled on a regular basis. You can learn more about these people, and the app will update with new profiles and information on the regular. It's unlike any app out there. If you see any app that's doing that, they copying me, trendsetter, trailblazer. Get down, and Jamie about to tell you about his stripping services.
Yeah, I will be stripping at the Elks Lodge this weekend. So bring your red fez hat and let's get it in.
What we doing?
You gotta have a red hat though. If you don't have the fez, you can't get in.
So we wanna talk about movies. You know, everybody. I know most of America, if not half of America, seem like have seen the movie Get Out. Have both of y'all seen Get Out yet?
I have not.
Okay.
So I'm the only one who's seen Get Out. So I don't necessarily want to give the movie a review, but I do want to kind of talk about some of the aspects. But we just want to talk about cinema, period, and the black person's role in cinema, in American cinema, from the beginning to now, how that has affected us positively and negatively, and you know what things that we possibly can do for ourselves moving forward with cinema. So, you know, first thing I want to go ahead and put on the table now. And people keep talking about stuff is just entertainment. All y'all people who just harp on this, it's just entertainment things. We understand the element of entertainment, but you need the element of programming. You need to understand the element of how we learn or how we take in information. I've said this many times. You learn through pictures and sound. You learn through pictures and sound. And that's why they call it programming and things. So you can program certain people with certain things. So I understand entertainment exists, but I need y'all to understand that programming exists and real programming. These people actually study human beings and study our minds and our cognitive abilities and all these things here. So don't be sitting there thinking that you are the person who's immune to being programmed to stuff by this stuff that you taking in on a regular basis. So you are what you eat, and that's real. You are what you eat. So I just want to start with that, but we can go ahead and get on in, man. Let's talk about these movies. Like, first of all, like, what are y'all favorite movies, and how do y'all think these movies affected y'all? So, Jamie, let's start with you. Like, what's a couple of your favorite movies, and how you think these movies affected you?
Oh, snap, that's terrible, because my favorite movie choice is freaking terrible.
we're gonna put them all on the table. Yours might not be even no worse than mine, so.
Let me see, man. Damn, Joe, you shouldn't have said that, because this going to make me sound so lame. My top three movies that I can watch continuously.
You must have been to say Beauty and the Beast or something. Then we're going to have to cut your mic off.
Okay. It might be a little bit nerdier than that. I can watch Godfather pretty much. I mean, 1, 2, and 3 religiously. I watch those movies all the time. My number two movie would probably be, it's going to sound stupid. I love the movie Joe Dirt. I think it's hilarious.
Joe Dirtte?
Yo, I love that movie. Yo, Spade is a genius. I love that dude. And number three, and these just for entertainment purposes. So, honestly, I probably don't have a number three. Oh, Lord of the Rings. I love that whole trilogy. I told you. And Star Wars. How the hell did I forget Star Wars? See, now you're making my nerd come out, man. So, those are some of my top movies. Yeah, them Hobbit movies. Yeah, shut the fuck up, Pat. You know what kind of movie it is. Don't play me.
I just finished watching all three of the Hobbit movies, like back to back to back in the last like 2 days.
I just want to say this real quick. Well, before we get into how the movies affect us, let's just put the movies on the table first. So, Jamie, you told us our movie. I can finish what you're saying, but let's just put the movies on the table first.
All right, that's mine. Go ahead, Pat.
I really don't have like favorite movies. I got like movies that I like a lot, but I can't think of any movie that's like above and beyond the best. But I typically like fantasy or mythical movies, like the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies. I like vampire werewolf movies, so you know, I'm a fan of the Underworld series, the Blade series. But beyond that, like, I'm a true nerd through and through. So And not just like a nerd in terms of whatever, like some of the greatest, in my opinion, movies that I've ever watched, and they're not really movies, have been like documentaries. So, and to be honest, I haven't watched a documentary ever in my life that I didn't like, even the ones that I disagree with strongly. I still enjoy the shit out of them. So, yeah, there's that. I don't think I have any, like, I love this movie or I love that movie. I love genres of movies. So anything thriller, anything horror, anything historical, and any documentary, anything fantasy, and I'm all in on it. Oh, I will say this. Some of the most impactful movies that I've ever seen have been movies like Medal of Honor with Cuba Gooding Jr. back in the day.
That's when he was a diver.
Yeah, the diver. Yeah, the diver, yeah. John. Yeah, that was live to me back then when I first watched it. Rosewood, because I actually watched Rosewood after I took a trip through the through what remains of the city, and then I watched the movie afterwards. So that left a lasting impact as well. But outside of those two, I'm a fan of genres.
Okay, but I like genres too. So I do like historical pieces. I do like the fantasy movies. Like
you
the mystical
like
movies.
Lord of the Rings, though, Joe.
Man, I can't watch that Lord of the Rings, man. I try to watch
your tone.
It. Man.
Watch your tone.
Hey, man.
Tone,
look here, bro. Man. Look here, man. I sit there and I try to watch it, but I can't. I just can't mess with that Lord of the Rings, man. I can't. But like. I think the first, like that Star Wars stuff, man, I think the first Star Wars movie I've ever watched all the way through was The Force Awakens. So, I mean, and I ain't even trying to say it was great. It was just on TV, and I ain't had nothing to do, so I watched it. And then the black, but I thought the black dude was a bitch, though, but other than that. But,
oh, man.
But but see, like some of my favorite movies, like I ain't gonna lie, mine the hood classics though. Like I love Belly, I love South Central with OG Bobby Johnson. I like Baby Boy, you know, I like Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society. I love what's the movie? The Spook Who Sat by the Door. I love that movie. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Like, I recommend people watch that movie. But I like documentaries as well. Hey, what's that one documentary? Snow on the Bluff. Man, I thought that was real, man. Snow on the Bluff turned out to be fake, man. That's the fake. That's the fake real movie. But it just. But I mean, you know, I watch pretty much any type of movie. Cause I'm the dude who will probably be up 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes just watching movies just cause I feel like it. And then I just give a movie a chance. Like I mess around and watch this one movie where, it was supposed to be like a horror movie, but it wasn't scary cause the beach was actually like you thought the beach sand was like the monster in the movie, but it turned out to be like some stupid little monster up under the sand and stuff like that. But like I ain't gonna lie, it was real dumb as hell. I wasted an hour and a half of my damn life, and I was mad.
I don't do drama.
I don't like them that much. Like for me to go to them types of movies, I just got to like really, really like the actor or something like that.
Although embarrassing moment, I did enjoy First Wives Club.
I don't even know what that is. It's one of the white girl movies.
It's one of them white lady movies. Not a white girl movie. I did enjoy First Wives Club, and I did enjoy Steel Magnolia. So those are my shameless, embarrassing movie choices. But
so I guess I should get mine out of the way, huh?
Outside of those two, I don't fuck with drama.
I guess mine would be The Notebook. I watched that. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I thought it was an alright movie. I mean, I wouldn't have done the shit he did, but, you know.
I hate The Notebook, man. I literally hate that movie. My wife loves it. I hate it.
Hey, man. Hey, look here. Look at that. I tell the girl straight up. You can look at me and expect me to do that shit that white boy did. But you better write that script and write that check, too. If you want me to do what that white boy did.
I don't even know what Notebook is, so.
Hey, man,
yeah,
don't worry
about
it.
Don't find out.
Don't worry about it. You ain't got to ask no more questions. Hey, man, but nah, what's crazy, though, is like the movie South Central. I know y'all, please tell me both of y'all have seen South Central.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. So, to me, I think OG Bobby Johnson was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, and next to Fury Styles, two of the greatest characters in hood movie history, just because they represented something progressive about the black man. You know, OG Bobby Johnson coming from where he was, going to prison, reforming himself and getting out and actually doing what he had to do to get his son to pull his family back together. And even coming back and seeing his wife strung out on Sherm, but understanding why she got strung out on Sherm, so doing what he got to do to help get his family back on his feet. And I think characters like OG Bobby Johnson and Fury Styles are, to me, I don't think they fully respected, and I don't think those characters are, we don't get versions of those characters enough in the movies. You always get the dumbass motherfuckers, the dumbass black dude, the pimping, and all this stuff there. Because I don't think The Mac is a good movie. I think Scarface is one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen in my life. That's just me. But, all right, you know,
I got to disagree, because I think this going to sound weird, but I used to love as a kid watching them old black exploitation movies. You know what I'm saying? The Mac, the Foxy series,
nah,
and all that kind of stuff. They're corny, but I don't know. I found some power.
I don't like black exploitation. Let me clear that up. I'm not saying that because I'd be lying. Because I like Dolemite. Growing up, I got put on Dolemite, so I like the Dolemite. It's just like The Mac in itself, that particular movie, I don't like. You know, I do think that we need more characters like the Furious Styles in our movies, but that can also come because we're at a crossroads now, man. We can make what we want to make. We could put it out. And people will find the ways to become successful doing that. Like, look at Issa Rae. Like, you can make what you want to make and put it out. And I think it's time for us to stop talking shit, man, and start making these movies, making these TV shows, like using these cameras for more than just going live and looking stupid.
Yeah, but I think we got to be careful, too, because, like, with me growing up, I love the black exploitation movies as well. You know, I watched a good chunk of them. Hell, I still own a good chunk of them. But I haven't watched them lately because as I grew up and got a little bit more mature, I realized how harmful those movies were to the community. And I realized as well what those movies were. You know, we call them black exploitation for a reason.
Right.
So I think... a lot of the quote-unquote black movies that come out nowadays, even though they're not as blatant or as poorly done as those black exploitation movies of the 70s, they all still kind of fall in that category of showing black people in the same historically negative light. They focus on the one or two good people in the entire situation. You know, there's one or two good people in the entire black community fighting against all odds, most of which are dangers and threats presented from black people themselves to overcome, leave the hood, and be successful in the white community. Like, that's the theme for most black movies. So I do think we need more movies, but we also need to be more, we need to be careful. Like, we need to make sure that the things that we're depicting in our movies, one, are real, and two are encouraging. Like, I lived in the hood, and I was a good kid in the hood. I was not the only good kid in the hood. I was not the only one. Most of the kids in the hood are good. Most of the women in the hood are not sluts and hoes and all these other stuff. Most of the dudes in the hood ain't strung out on crack or trying to sell crack. But when you watch these movies, even with this new, you know, this TV show they got out now, 24, where everybody's all in love with the fact that it's got a black main character. Yeah, but his brother's one of the biggest drug dealers in the world, in the community. His wife used to be his brother's girlfriend, and now his brother mad at him for taking his wife. And you look at all that drama, and it's just like, yeah, really? So we got one good black dude in the movie, and every other black person you see is corrupt and negative.
I can see that. And I actually watched that show. I've been a fan of that 24 series since Jack Bauer was getting shot and killed every day but still living a whole 24 hours. I get that. I think because I saw a lot of people when it came to that show, they were worried about the Muslim stereotypes, and that perspective you bring up is, you know, relevant. It's kind of like how people view Empire and whatnot. It ain't nothing positive on that show as far as, you know, black people. And to what Joe was kind of talking about, too, and the impact of it, of these shows, you know, because a lot of people think, like Joe said in the opening, you know, think it's just entertainment. But, you know, for the younger minds, like me watching these blaxploitation movies, you know, I came from a single-parent household. I got a lot of my game off of, you know, these silly-ass shows and stuff like that. So, it, you know, when I say game, you know, stupid-ass stuff, you know, think you got to do this to be fly, X, Y, Z. Like, don't play me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So,
man, they know what you're talking about. We're talking about giving the game, man. You got to talk the game. You know, they ain't going to act stupid.
Yeah, so I definitely get what you're saying, Pat, about that. I don't know. That show, I was like, I want to see where the season goes, but I definitely don't like that part. The brother's the big-time drug dealer, now he's involved with terrorists, black people with the terrorists, now we fight. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, are we, like, I don't know. That part confused me, but I just like to shoot. I like action movies, so I think it's dope, but to dig a little deeper to somebody who's not actually, you know, really watching for stuff like that, that's an important thing to notice. And when you're watching these shows, you got to know how to decipher that bullshit from, you know, just entertainment. Because a lot of people, you know, they'll suck in that bullshit and not realize, all right, I need to separate this from this and, you know, be able to enjoy it. But if you ain't got that, you know, that filter built in, you don't know no better, then you're just going to think it's all fun and games.
Right.
Well, let me...
We gotta look too real quick. Like, I think about, like, cause my wife watches the show, and I told her I watch it with her, so I've been watching it with her. It's not a bad show in terms of action. I'm not even gonna sit here and say I hate the time I spent watching it. I enjoy myself. But you look at other shows like my wife didn't grow up in the hood, so every time something happens in the hood thing, she looking at me like, is it really like that? You know. You go back to scenes with, what was the movie with
Man.
Omar and all of them? What was the movie with Omar?
Talking about Juice.
No, not movie.
Oh, you talking about
the
Baltimore, The Wire.
The Wire, yeah. We was watching that show. And again, almost everything about the show is negative towards black people. And every time some shit went down, is it really like that in the hood? Now, I'm sitting here so I can tell her, look, yeah, this is TV bullshit. But how many black people are sitting around watching those movies, did not grow up in the hood, and they honestly think that our culture is like that? You know, like those.
But you know what? All right, no disrespect. But the next time I see your wife, I'm gonna throw an alley oop, and I want you to dunk on her, okay? I want you to Shaq dunk on her. Nah, and the reason why I say that, and I'm just being funny, but we'll watch white people movies and won't think twice about white people actually being like that for real.
True.
But that's there's contrast to white people movies.
I understand. Movie,
you got the hero and the villain.
No, I mean, I understand that. But it ain't like these people don't have access to black communities. Though, go to black communities and talk to black people. Hang out with black people. Get to know black people. You're not far from black people. Like, just go, go into your community. But see, that's one of the negative things about the movies that we have to be able to pay attention to. Like, I like hood movies, but on the other hand, that's one thing I hate. It's like they thinking like, okay, because you come from low income, like you had to grow up like this. Not everybody didn't grow up like that. Some people did grow up like that. Some people grow up cooking crack at 9 years old. Some people been, you know, whatever, but everybody didn't grow up like that. Like, I used to have arguments with my homeboys all the time. Like, when you start to notice the imbalance in music, talking about, because, you know, my argument was all black people don't sell dope. And they was like, man, well, you know, they're just telling the common black story. So I would ask everybody, all right, everybody, raise your hand if you know two people or even one person who sell real dope right now. Don't nobody raise their hand. So I'm like, if it's 12 people in here and can't none of y'all tell me somebody who sell real dope, you can't tell me dope selling is a common store.
Right. No, I would agree with that.
That's where that filter comes in at. But before you can even turn the filter on, first you have to acknowledge that there is no such thing as pure entertainment. And then you have to have some sort of perspective that you can balance the movies off of. And you can't do that, one, if you think all you're viewing is pure entertainment, and two,
right,
if you don't have any relevant perspective.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, go ahead, Jeremy.
One thing, like, people got to realize, and Joe, you hit on something I want to talk about, too. Everything has an angle. Everything has an agenda. The second you turn on the TV, I don't care if it's just movies, I don't care if you're watching the news, you're being programmed to think a certain way or feel a certain way about something. If you turn on this channel, they're going to tell the news this way because they want you to think liberal. Or you turn on the channel this way, they want you to think conservative. Every way you television used to be called television programming for a reason. All right, just because they call it television now and left out the programming doesn't mean it's still not programming. All this stuff is usually to address a certain agenda to get you to think a certain way. So with that filter that we were kind of alluding to, when people outside of the black community see these movies, like black movies, they honestly think that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand. They don't, like, Boys in the Hood came out, and I know people, like, I literally had conversations with some of my white friends, and they're like, yo, I thought L.A. was really like that. Like, you know, they really think that's what the black experience is, you know, Boys in the Hood, minister society. So when we portray those stereotypes, the other cultures actually believe them, and that's what they like to label us in is real life. So for them, they don't know how to separate what they see in the movie versus the black man they see in real life. And that's a problem. Can I necessarily control that? No. But for other black people to view that same way, that's just a lack of education on their part, and they need to go ahead and learn how to develop that filter. Because there's some shows I watch, and I'm like, okay, this is just – I know that, like, Empire. I can't watch Empire. I know they're trying to push an agenda, and it's just like, man, I can't even get down with that. That show, to me, it just – it makes no sense. It's not even good acting or entertainment for that purpose. But people like it. But if you don't know by watching that show they're trying to push an agenda, you're just being dumb at that point. Go ahead.
Nah, because I try to tell people, look, man, I ain't never sold dope myself, but I done seen some stuff, and I done been around some real stuff that done went down, and seen some stuff, and seen people's stats, and seen people's resumes, like real resumes and stuff. So, you know, so I understand that element is there, but I think I'm more pissed at black people than anybody who... You're black, and you can look at your family and the black people around you and understand that all black people don't do this, but when you come to a certain side of town, I mean, you just expect everybody to do that. I mean, it's just like, that from black people pissed me off. Like, with white people, I understand white people ignorant. Like,
yeah.
I understand, like, something wrong with their brains. That's why they can't really process that real information. You know, that's why, you know, they think all... Chinese, all people Asian Chinese, and they do the dumb shit they do. There's something wrong with white, some, you know, them white people, something wrong with their damn brains or something like that. But, you know, it's not letting us happen to understand, like black people, not letting the cinema control how we view ourselves. Because now, like me and Pat talked about it last week, now, not even the cinema, the TV shows. You got these, like, everybody want to live like the people on these damn reality shows. And everybody want to live like the people in these movies and stuff. And, like, now these movies starting to have some of these concepts and things in some of these damn shows. And it's like, that shit ain't real, people. Like, no matter what you do, white people not going to like you. You're not going to be accepted. Racism is still real. We still got a real fight to fight. And we should be better using our movies to empower us and put strategy out and put codes in these movies. Like, all right, let's talk, you know, a little bit about this Get Out, right?
Joe, you killing that gun, bro.
Hey, man, that's how I do. But, like the movie Get Out. Well, y'all ain't really see it, man, so we can't really get into that. Never. We'll do another movie.
Nah, you can talk about Get Out, like, whether I saw it or not. I've been seeing people's reactions to it, and just by people's reactions, I don't want to see the movie right away, because it's like, oh, man, it's, you know, oh, man, it's making you think, it's got all these new concepts. One, there's nothing new under the sun, and if this, whatever's revealed in this movie, if it's new to you, if it's shocking to you, that just means you haven't been studying the right stuff and hasn't been paying attention to your surroundings, and you're just been choosing to be ignorant on a lot of different topics, because nothing in that movie should surprise, shock, or wake anything up. But that's just me. I'm an asshole, so.
Man, if Emmett T. Huh? Go ahead. Now I'm just going to say it. If Emmett Till wasn't enough for you to realize what was going on, man, this movie not going to help you.
I just don't.
No.
Like, for me, and to go back to one of your earlier points, I think we do have to acknowledge the fact that people are ignorant until they're shown otherwise. Like, you know, and until you've had enough life experiences to show you that you can be wrong and open that door for you, you're going to believe what you see, and you're going to broadcast those beliefs out to a world that you're unfamiliar with. So those black people that grew up in areas that weren't the hood, I can't be mad at them if all they've been, the closest they've come to the hood is television, and now they think of people from the hood a certain type of way. I can't be mad at them. That's like growing up, we watched all these wushu pictures, and so we thought every person with slanty eyes that we saw knew how to do kung fu. You know what I'm saying? It's just what you thought, because that was all you was exposed to from their culture. And then you meet one or two Asian people that don't do kung fu, and it's like, oh, really? So, you know, so I can't blame them for that. But to, you know, to the other point, I just think we have to. People aren't looking for information, and in the day and age now where information is so readily available, it's become devalued because of its access, because it's so easy to get. Nobody really wants it anymore. You think back in the days when knowledge was restricted, everybody wanted it. Nowadays, you know, you can get anything you want at your fingertips, and nobody wants it because it's right there at your fingertips. So they wait for these entertainment mediums, these things that can get their alpha better waves going, these things that can get them excited to broadcast whatever it is they're curious about to them. I mean, you look at think about the documentary 13 and the impact that had with everybody, you know, all of a sudden, slavery didn't exterminate. The 14th Amendment didn't end slavery. Slavery's still going on in prison and blah, blah, blah. And then you think about,
but they talked about that in Hidden Colors.
Yeah, but still, look at how much of look at the reverberation caused by this documentary that made absolutely no new claims whatsoever. the lady that filmed it even later on had a discussion with Oprah that got broadcast.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, and Netflix made a little series out of that.
Right, but you look at it like the documentary presented no new information whatsoever. It didn't even present a new perspective. There was nothing unique whatsoever about that documentary, but it blew up. You look at the Nat Turner story, a story that we've all been familiar with for at least 100 years. No new information. Matter of fact, the movie distorted a large percentage, a large number of facts. But you look at the reverberation it had, the people that were talking about how groundbreaking it was, how this, how that it was. And in some senses, I understand. But in other senses, it's like, come on. So then we move on to, you move on to a movie like Get Out.
They said the Nat Turner movie was groundbreaking?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard all kinds of people making all kinds of statements about...
And what manner?
About Birth of the Nation. Just about the fact that they made a movie about Nat Turner, about how powerful it was to see a brother lead in a rebellion and this, that, and the third. And this, to me, it was like, I thought Rosewood was more impactful in terms of somebody leading a resistance against white people. I mean, Ven Rhames' character, while he was fictional, he was kicking a whole lot of ass and taking a whole lot of names. But, it is what it is. That, people aren't going to do the research necessary to learn the things by themselves. And that also is why it becomes so important for our movie to be more historically accurate. That all of that becomes vitally important because people will see a movie like Get Out and they'll say, oh, this is the first time we've seen, white supremacy broadcast like this where a white family is looking to do harm to a black man and he was lured into a situation and this, that, and the third. And it's like, wait, no, it's not.
Right. No, it's not.
But,
man.
That's the perspective. That's what people.
The people under the stairs.
But that's the perspective, though, Joe. That's the, one other thing. People don't watch old movies either. I have probably about a good 400 or 500 movies that are made prior to the '90s that I sit down and watch with my kids just so that they have some context for a lot of the new movies that are coming out, as well as documentaries, books, and everything else. But how many people, are actually going back and watching the Spook Who Sat Behind the Door? How many people even knew that that was a movie? You know what I'm saying?
Not many.
And that's on YouTube. You can watch that on YouTube.
Yeah.
And with these movies, and I'm not knocking anybody, man. Whatever you got to take to do to get your information. That's I'm not knocking anybody, because a lot of people hear this like, oh, well, at least they're getting it. I get that. But at the end of the day, we can't just simply rely on, major movie productions to necessarily tell all these stories. There's books out there. We got scholars doing lecture tours that are online. We got all these different outlets. You can't just wait for Kill. I don't even know which one made the movie, Peel or Kill or Key, whatever.
Peel.
You can't wait.
Peel,
yeah, Peel. You can't wait on Peel to make a movie with some references to different things that might be relevant now when we actually have stuff, real live scholars talking about it. So don't just stop there. Use that as a springboard to propel you into other things. Like even when I watched the Hidden Colors documentary, I would watch that movie, pause on a part, then just go read, research what I'm hearing, this, that, and the other. That way I'm not just seeing a movie saying, yep, that's what I believe. That whole series is set up so you can go back and do your own research, but it allows you to have a starting point. So when you watch these movies, it's okay to, get some awakening from it, but you still got to do more research versus just taking this movie, talking about it, and thinking you're informed and know the extent of, different issues and topics, X, Y, and Z. So, like, the movie 13, Michelle Alexander wrote a whole damn book, and people really don't even know about it, that breaks it down into far more detail. I mean, she literally goes into, like, statistics you probably don't even care about, and that book is more like a damn I don't know what that book is pretty complicated, but it's out there and people don't even know about it. So the 13th, I mean,
speaking of the new Jim Crow, right?
Yeah. Speaking of the new, exactly. The movie, the documentary 13th, some of that is her research that's in that movie. So use these movies to help propel yourself to get more information to other topics, but don't just stop at the movie. That's what I would say.
Well, I guess that's what's my biggest issue is, like, we are relying on entertainment to teach us, and that entertainment can be a tool for education, but it shouldn't be the main thing that you're relying on. Like you're not woke if you're waiting on the next Hidden Colors to come out or the next movie to come. You're not woke. You're not, like, if you're not inspired to go search this information for yourself, like, you got to read. You got to do research. Like, you got to, like even me, like, I got to get my ass out of this country. I got to go do some real research. I need to go see these pyramids. I need to go see these temples. I need to go smell the air, look at the dirt, you know. And that, like, it goes, those are the things that go into it, with you really learning who you are and finding out who you are. I mean, like for example, not trying to do a shameless plug, but it's going to turn into it, but it just goes into what we're talking about. For my next book, I learned about the Garifuna culture. I ain't know nothing about no Garifuna culture. So next thing you know, I'm watching Travel Channel, and the little fat white dude, Andrew Zimmerman, that eat everything, he eat animal booty holes and all, right? So him... he did an episode with a Garifuna family, I think in like Brooklyn, New York. So finding out that, you know, I found out that there's a Garifuna population that's in like Brooklyn, New York or something. But if I wouldn't have done my research on my own watching that episode, I wouldn't know what the hell he was talking about. So it can play its part, but you got to do your research. Like, you got to get in there. Like you said, it's one thing to watch the 13th documentary, but it's another thing to actually study the history from 1865 till now to see actually what happened. Like really independently study redlining. Independently study Jim Crow era. Independently study all these poll taxes and all these clauses. And another book that you can even add to that that would complement the new Jim Crow is Dr. Joy DeGruy Leary's Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, Post-Traumatic Slave Disorder. I think those are two books that complement each other. But it's like, if you're not willing to do the research, these movies ain't going to help you. No matter at the end of the day, they're not really telling a real, real story in these movies anyway.
But see, and the crazy thing is, everybody's research is based off of something. And it goes all the way back until you get the source documentation. Michelle Alexander's book was based off the work of Dr. Blackman, who he published, actually he's not a doctor, but he published a book and the late 2000s called Slavery by Another Name. They made a documentary about it. The vast majority of her book was built off of his book. The entirety of Slavery by Another Name was talking about how slavery transformed from the Civil War to World War II, how you went from the Emancipation Proclamation to peonage to convict leasing to the modern prison industrial complex. So, you know, like, and her book literally is his book, except it started a little later and it went a little further in terms of time frame, because he didn't really get into the modern prison industrial complex. She did. But everything
right,
else
but
in her book prior to that is virtually identical to his book that was made earlier. I believe she consulted with him on that book. And then there are plenty of other black inmates who were actually in prison that wrote various books on the prison industrial complex. So the information is out there.
Right. Ava DuVernay directed 13th, correct?
I think so. Is that the lady? She did the Selma movie, too.
Right. The same one that did the Selma movie. You know, like I said, they not gonna the movies will have tidbits and nuggets, but the movie's not gonna have everything that you need. So you can't rely on these movies to help you wake up, if you will. You know.
No. But I just think it becomes important, like, even looking critically at certain books, and certain information and certain things. You know, we're talking about black people in media. We definitely need, like, I have trouble watching a lot of these modern movies because I feel like at this point in our, and where we are, our movies need to be more fact than fiction. Especially considering our historical ignorance as a community.
We're still trying to escape.
Our movies, and the movies that are coming out now, even the so-called historical ones, are more fiction than fact. And that bothers me. That's why
I
things like certain things. Go ahead.
I don't want to throw no shade on even like the Selma movie, but I can't remember the exact, but they had some things in there that wasn't necessarily historically accurate. It's a lot of these movies that have instances and things that don't necessarily be historically accurate. I'm not saying that the Selma movie was all way off, and I just can't think of the scene right now, but when I think about it, I bring it back up, but it was something in there that wasn't necessarily historically accurate. But like you're saying, a lot of these movies, they're not giving you the real. They're gonna embellish some things in there and twist some things.
But I think we need to be critically reviewing movies as well. Like, we can't just celebrate a movie just because a black person made it. Like, I'm not that type of pro-black person.
But that's where we at, though.
Succeed. But that don't mean that black people should take bullshit from somebody just because that person is black. Nah, like, critically analyze everything. You know, like right now I'm thinking about Michelle Alexander's book because me and a couple other people got into a heated discussion on it. Not that I said the book was bad, because I think the book is a great book. I just said the book isn't written for black people. The book is written for white people, because there isn't much in that book that black people didn't already know to be true. Now, she provides statistics and things that can help you back up your argument, but the argument itself,
that's already there.
That's been very prevalent in the black community for decades, and that was my only real critique of that book, was that it was a great book, but it was written for white people. The books that are written for black people don't get that level of fame, that level of celebrity for the writers and things of that nature. So I think, you know, we have to begin to look. We have to be critical of everybody telling our story and our current situation, even if those people are black. And we have to hold them to a standard right now, because people aren't doing the research. We need the entertainment, quote unquote, that's put out to be more fact than fiction. We need it. It's imperative. We can't continue putting out stuff that, you know, well, this is just going to be a feel-good moment. Like the Hidden Figures movie, where they inserting these white saviors. You know, like in that movie, I think they had a scene where the guy was defending the lady because she didn't want to use the colors-only bathroom at NASA. And then you watch an interview that the lady did, and she said she never used the colored-only bathrooms, and nobody ever saved her or talked to anybody or blah, blah, blah. She just refused to go in them. Well, that's a powerful moment by itself. Why do we need a white savior to come and interrupt what would have been a powerful moment of a black woman saying, fuck this, I got to piss?
Nah, I agree with that. I think a lot of these movies, they throw that angle in it to where, you know, it doesn't show, you know, the black character as powerful. They always show it as they needed some type of help from somebody else. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, you were great, but you wouldn't be great if I didn't let you use these bathrooms. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
And like Django.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's where that filter got to come back in, for you to be like, nah, man, like, whatever. And kind of understand that, because, again, it's sending home that message. And the unconscious mind doesn't cut off. That's constantly. So you're watching this thinking it's entertainment, but what's actually being downloaded in your head might be something completely different. That's why I always tell people, and you alluded to it earlier, you are what you eat, you are what you watch, and all these kind of things. And even if sometimes you might think it's entertainment, like some things I know it's entertainment, but I refuse to watch it because I don't even want that in the depths of my brain somewhere.
Yeah.
Bouncing around.
Yeah, straight up. You can't take everything in, man. Like some shit, man. Some movies and nah, man. I ain't. I mean, you know, I'm gonna be real. It's just off top. I'm not interested in that Greenlight movie. I'll probably catch it when it come on cable and watch it. Come on Greenlight or something.
Greenlight. Talking about Moonlight.
Yeah, whatever. See, I don't even know the name of it. Greenlight, Moonlight.
Before the whole award show thing took off, because it was on Netflix, it's like the movie or the whatever. I thought it was trash.
It was on Netflix.
I thought it was trash. I got through about 45 minutes. I turned it off. But then, like I said, I don't like drama, and I don't like that whole black person trying to overcome black people and black environment and black this and.
Well, see that. That's one of the things I wanted to hit on, because it's like it's always like the black people try to overcome blackness to get into this world of to be accepted by everybody else. Like everybody else don't like you, and they need to stop showing this in these movies. But like movies like Greenlight and movies like Straight Outta Compton still do better than Nat Turner movie. I mean, I like Nat Turner so I thought people should show up just out of support of Nat Turner, period, no matter what. But you know, when Straight Outta Compton is more successful than the Nat Turner movie, or the goddamn Madea movie is more successful than that, that show where we at. We don't really give a fuck. That's what that means.
You know, real quick, I was reading this article about from this producer about why they have white saviors in movies. And the producer said that he feels like it's important to present the narrative that not all white people who are evil are in support of segregation or slavery or oppression of black people. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, they have the power to insert that narrative in the movie. But where is the narrative where, you know, where is that same reverence towards
that's bullshit. I'd call him out on that if I was there.
Black people when it comes to not wanting all black people to be seen as being hood rats, drug dealers, motherfucking system abusers, and this, that, and the third. Where was that same level of thought when the only black people you cast in your movies are criminals or thugs? You don't have that consideration to say,
right,
I don't want to present the narrative that all black people are criminals or thugs.
Right.
So we had this group of black people that weren't.
Or when they're coming, going there for the cast, and they tell the way, can you be more black? Like, what? Like, you know, white people be full of shit, man. And, yeah, white people be full of shit, man. When they be giving answers and stuff like that, man, come on, man. Just come on. Stop. Get off the bullshit. Get off the bullshit. You fucking with me right now when you saying some stuff like that, because you know it's bullshit. And you white saviors are in movies because they got the power to put that shit in there. Let's just be real. That's why white saviors exist in the movie.
And let's be honest, every Sunday they go into praising, most of them are praising a white savior anyway, so it really doesn't make a difference, and they won't see it because of that conditioning. So that part of it, like,
right. I mean, you make a great point there. I mean, of course. I mean, you got this skinny, I mean, got a skinny dude hanging on the wall.
Kenny G.
Right, with the ribs at. So.
You stupid. But that's an interesting dynamic, because you know, it's true. And again, like we keep alluding to, you got, if you can watch these stuff and you not understand, like, these love and hip hop shows. Like, I know so many people that say they don't want drama, they don't like this, but they love these shows. Even though they know it's fake, all it does is perpetuate those negative stereotypes about black relationships, black love, and all this. And it's just, we can just not watch. These shows cease to exist if we turn them off. And people always complain, why there's no positive shows like, what was the joint, Different World and stuff like that? Because you idiots won't watch them. But you would rather watch goddamn the Creep Squad and all the rest of this nonsense they got on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Real Housewives of Atlanta. these shows cease to exist if black people stop watching it. And we can actually, we can bring back, you know, good, positive shows. That way the next generation can, we grew up on Martin, A Different World, Fresh Prince. What are these kids growing up on now?
Like, bullshit. On? YouTube.
I don't.
Like, at least we had Fresh Prince. They ain't got nothing.
I don't.
YouTube, World Star.
Like, look, if you watch drama like Love and Hip Hop and Housewives of Hollywood and that.
You like drama.
Empire. If you watch that, you like drama. And you're not even finna sell me on no BS that you don't. There is some component of that show that you find appealing. And since the show is nothing but drama to begin with, it has to be the drama. I don't, like, so I don't, and then they always find some character in this show to associate themselves with. And it's usually the most dramatic character in the show.
True.
You do like drama. You want drama. You want to be this character whose life the show is centered around, who's filled with drama. You want to walk around, I don't give a fuck, blah, 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 blah. You want to be that person so bad that you live your life through the character in the TV show, wishing the situations like that could pop up so that you could prove just how much like this character you are in real life.
I actually are.
You do like drama. Don't give me that.
And my one thing to that, I watch stupid shit. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I watch some stupid shit if it's late night. But here's the thing. Stupid shit shouldn't be all you watch. You should at least try to watch something that's gonna feed your mind. Like, I watched Neil deGrasse, The Cosmos. That shit blew my fucking mind away. It's some nerdy shit. But it teaches about the universe, the cosmos, the forming of the earth, all that kind of stuff. So I try to at least have some type of damn balance. You know, I might get my Ratchet show in, but honestly, I don't watch anything too crazy. But I'll watch a movie like Joe Dirt, then watch damn 3 documentaries about all different types of things. So if you want to watch that ignorant shit, go ahead, to each his own. But at least feed your mind with something positive that's going to get you thinking, that's going to, you know, show you a different side or teach you something. But if everything you watch is not teaching you something positive, then what do you think you're getting out of that? Because you can't just say it's entertainment at that point. You're getting nothing out of it but reinforcement of negative stereotypes about people who look like you. And that's programming you to hate your own self, people who look like you, X, Y, and Z.
That's a good point. Balance is a good point because I think it's important we have balance. And understand, when I went in my rant earlier, I wasn't saying there was something wrong with liking drama. If you like drama, you like drama, cool. But it is something wrong when you running around lying to other people and yourself, trying to make it out that you're something that you're not. Look, if you like drama, own it. I like drama, cool. Now we can move forward. You know what I'm saying? But I just, like, that part bothers me because people have characteristics about themselves that they don't want to address, and that ends up causing problems later on in life. Period. Now, if you like drama, that's cool. Admit you like drama. I've never knocked anybody for watching Empire. I don't watch it, but I'm not going to knock you for watching it. What I will knock you for is if that's the only thing you watch.
Yeah, I mean, I watch some ignorant stuff, so I ain't going to lie. I watch some ignorant stuff sometimes. But, you know, so I got that balance. That's definitely not the only thing I consume. I end up, it's funny, you know, we're having our Pastor Simmons jokes for since he decided to get butt naked and raw dog somebody else's wife.
Oh,
I would go off on the I would go off on the tangent on that because that's how you do that. Because, you know, when you get butt naked, when you get butt naked, you finna screw up somebody else. But anyway, I end up watching this show called Saints and Sinners. I don't know how the hell I end up watching that. But it's just like crooked church stuff. So like the pastor got murked off by somebody on by some drugs or something like that. Then the other dude who trying to keep the church together, he can't. Then David Banner finna come and be the pastor, while the pastor throw the hunch in the choir director. and the choir director married to somebody else and all these things here. And then the pastor's wife trying to run for mayor, but she crooked and hooked up with the drug dealer. She probably helped get her husband knocked off. But it's just like, this is the stuff that people consume, you know. And like we're saying, you know, not nobody for what they're watching, but if that's the only thing you're watching, then yeah, we can knock you. Yeah, we can knock you. But it's like, the stuff we consume, like for example, and I ain't posted in the group that you in with, Jamie, but I'll post that later. I'll post the video I'm about to talk about later. But I saw a video of, these people said that there was Black Panthers. That's what they said there was. But they all got guns, you know, semi-automatic guns. Everybody all black. Yeah, they got the handguns, and this dude, it looked like a rap video. It looked like either a rap video or like a Vice Lord or GD video or something like that. Like they some real thugs. Like they finna call, like they calling some dude. I think it's some black dude, but they trying to call this person out. And they all got their guns and all that stuff there. And it's like, see, that's the stupid shit that you get from the TV. Right. So let's count how many days before we hear the story about them getting rounded up by the police.
I feel so bad for the Black Panthers, the legacy of the Panthers.
Yeah, they're dragging that through the mud.
Cause these, like, right now there are so many different spinoffs, and they doing so many different things. And almost all of them that I can see are negative, with the exception of a few handfuls, a few pockets. And I just feel so bad. But, you know, you think about that, too. That's largely a result of programming, television programming.
Right, it is.
Stories and things. People don't even know what the real Black Panther stood for. All they know about is the California protests with the rifles. That's all they know about the Black Panthers. They don't know anything else to do. Anything else, so they think they can wear some black berets, some all black clothes,
go get some guns,
and they can scream out that they Black Panthers.
Oh wow, George Zimmerman still walking around.
Right.
Let's make that note too.
Right.
Cause these dudes spend the whole video calling out some other black dude how they do this and do that. All while George Zimmerman still walking around.
And that's why I'd be like, I don't want to hear none of your blah blah blah, whatever. Cause while George Zimmerman is still alive, I don't believe you. And that's not saying I'm calling for George Zimmerman's death, but I am saying I don't believe you.
Right? Yeah, yeah. We don't believe you. You need more something.
People, there you go. to that effect, man. And Joe, you in the psychology world, man. You know how the mind works and whatnot. And that programming part of it, people really got to pay attention to that, because it'll have you, you know, thinking some stuff that just isn't true. So it's okay to watch these shows, but before you start taking stuff on, developing prejudices and all that kind of nonsense, do your damn research. Look this stuff up. You seeing all this stuff about the Panthers or what's that little airhead chick that be all on TV talking all that yik-yak, Tommy Loren. People listen to her and think she's got a point. When all you can do is a Google search and realize all these people are lying. Right now, we got an administration in the White House that has lied literally every time they've gotten on TV. So you just have to do your research and not just assume that these television shows, these movies are telling you actual facts of how it is. That it's a level of programming that go into these things. Everything is marketing you to hate, like, or buy something. I believe that to the T. Even when you get on your smartphone and go through your Facebook feed, you're going to see some type of sponsored something. So just understand that somebody's trying to sell you something. Look at the angles, understand those angles, but you also got to do your research to actually understand and see all these things that are being thrown at your unconscious mind and all that good stuff. So,
that's what we try to get through here. You know, we've said on several occasions, like, it's impossible for you to sit there and just watch something and don't think you're not taking anything in. That's bullshit. You're taking in, like every time you sit down to watch someone, listen to something, read something like that, you leaving the way with some new type of information, some bit. Something has been added to your psyche. Your unconscious mind has soaked in something. That's bullshit. That's why. That's how sometimes people just, they be remembering things and singing stuff like, why is this on my mind? Why am I singing this? Cuz, fool, you've been programmed.
Exactly.
And they call it television programming. Okay. They don't call it television entertainment. They call it television programming.
And to me, it's like, treat the television like you would treat everything else. Like, even my spiritual people, not talking about one religion or another, you're going to not listen to certain things because it's going to, you know, it's negative towards your beliefs or teachings or this, that, and other. Have that same type of discernment towards anything you watch on TV. All right, am I going to watch this show? What kind of images is it going to portray, you know, black people as? This, and a same type of, you know, biases and discrimination you're going to have based on your beliefs. Use that. Continue into that. Because, like, that show Greenleaf, you, or Lovers and Sinners, Sinners and Saints, whatever the hell. A lot of church people going to watch that because, it's, you know, but
man,
if stuff like that happened in their church, they, you know, they don't want to talk about Pastor Simmons jumping out the window butt-ass naked, but they'll talk to you about saints and sinners and drug-dealing church members and all that other bullshit. That's, to me, that's just stupid. Like, that's contradicting. You can't sit there and feed your mind with one thing, then in real life, you know, kind of accept it. That, to me, that don't make sense. So,
man,
I just want to throw that out there as well.
Look at here. Look at here.
You'll get me in trouble.
That's that bullshit. Nah, man. See, you shouldn't have brought it up, see. That's that bullshit, that these fake ass.
Bro.
I know, I just want to say this one thing. Hey, Pat, hey, dog. We making a point here, okay?
I'm trying to save you from yourself.
Yes, please, dude. Don't let him lie. I shouldn't have said that. I take that back. I recant my whole message.
See, they won't let me go in on y'all people. You religious fakes.
I'm just saying.
I'm talking across the board.
Yeah, I see that a lot, man. They'll come up with all these positive images and, you know, you need to read the word. Okay, you read the word. That's awesome. But what you see on TV is just as important as you reading that word. So if you're consuming a bunch of trash, doesn't that contradict all this stuff you're supposed to be doing in the good book or whatever book, the Torah, the Quran, I don't care what book you, but what you feed yourself is not just, you know, on a religious aspect. That's on a day-to-day basis. And I'm very guarded about what I consume, whether it be movies, television shows, and I'm even more so guarded about what my daughters consume. You know, it's some Disney movies. I don't even want the messages being set across and, you know, stuff like that.
Hey, man,
so,
hey, these Disney movies, wow, these days.
Yo, it's... I can't stand Beauty and the Beast, and I'm going to keep my reasons to myself. But in some of these movies, it's like, nah, I don't want her even, want my girls even looking at that. So be very guarded. Be the same way you guarded about hearing different religious stuff, how you are just tuning out. Be same way guarded about any type of entertainment and have that discernment to know what you're seeing, have that filter to be able to analyze and realize it's not just all shits and grins and tickles on your nutsack and all that kind of stuff. They're trying to program you to think a certain way. Don't be naive. Yeah, that's a good way. Just don't be fucking naive, dumbass.
What Lawrence Fishburne told you at the end of the movie? Wake up! Wake up,
because, you know, and to that point, one last rant, and I'm going to let y'all fucking go on, we can get out of here. Yo, don't tell me everybody's woken up by the Get Out movie all of a goddamn sudden, when just a week ago you was picking on people being woke and shit like that. Fuck out of here with that.
Hey,
that
man, look,
wake
look.
You up.
I'm going to say
that,
it like
you,
this.
It's a hot topic. That's it. That's
I'm
going to
say it like this.
About woke.
How the Get Out movie waking people up and the director still married to a white woman? Look at here.
I've been refraining from making that point for a minute.
I mean, that's the truth. Where's the waking up? Shit, hell, he ain't woke.
I honestly think people are bringing their perspectives in and pulling out
they are.
From the movie things that aren't necessarily meant to be pulled from the movie. Because if he was really saying interracial dating was as bad as I'm hearing some of y'all are saying he's saying interracial dating is, he wouldn't be involved in the interracial marriage.
Right.
But again, that goes back to doing your research and actually trying to analyze stuff versus just taking in that face value.
Man, well, you know, that's why they made thinking illegal, so people stopped doing it. So And then when they made it back legal, people said, fuck it, I got comfortable not thinking, so fuck it.
But I do think that's one of them things that we gotta, we're real good for that. We're real good for bringing our own biases and things. And it's not just us. Everybody is. But it's harmful in our cases because it makes us blind in a world where we can't afford to be blind. White people own 97% of the wealth of this nation. They can afford to be blind. They can afford to be dumb. They can afford to be deaf. They can afford to do that because they own everything. You can afford to be blind in your own house. You cannot afford to be blind in somebody else's house. And I think a lot of things that they do, we're like, oh, well, they do it, so we can do it too. No. We can't do what they do. We can't behave the way they behave. We can't think the way they think. We can't speak the way they speak. We can't. And that's something else we need to embrace. The fact that what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. You run around here trying to create some sort of social system where we can behave and act and whatever in the same mannerisms that they behave, act and whatever, and you're going to run into a situation where things are not going to be getting better for you and your community. And to the flip side, white people have it awful. Why would you want to be like them?
Well, that's the thing that I don't get by some of our people. Like, they look at what white people do as superior. Like, white people look for us for their cues, look for other cultures for their cues. So y'all looking at them so they can give you back a watered-down version of what you already been doing.
I mean, the education system is failing them just as much as it's failing us. The employment situation is failing them just as much as it's failing us. You know, like, everything is failing them. It's failing us on a worse level because we don't own shit and we don't control shit. But it's failing them the same as it's failing us. Like, why would you want to duplicate a system that's failing the people that it was designed to protect? It doesn't make sense. But that's a whole nother subject. But I do think we definitely need to, like, we need to be objective when we view media and things of that nature as well. Like, if you're going to see Get Out and you think this brother is making some sort of statement on interracial relationships, the counter to that would be, is he in an interracial relationship? If the answer is yes, then obviously I just brought my own bias to this movie. And I'm extrapolating a point that was not intended to be made. So I need to check that at the door. So now, what other points is he making that he isn't really making?
I'm going to say this. I don't think the movie is as good as everybody is saying it is, as far as, like, just you have to see this project. No, you don't have to see that shit. Like, you really don't have to see it. Like, outside of supporting a black director, you don't have to see that. Like, just pick up the right book and read it. Like, you read Destruction of a Black Civilization and tell you everything you need to know about your relationship with white people.
Even to that, the funny part about that, and let me real quick and then I'm going to shut up. Real quick about the whole thing and then to that, and then I'm going to shut up for the rest of the show because I think we're going to close down. But I think, I want to say real quick, I'm not saying you can't see a movie and gather a point that wasn't intended to be made and use it as a teaching tool. You can do that. So I'm not saying that. And to the Destruction of a Black, I really don't think as many people have read that book as claim they have, because the second or third paragraph, the second or third chapter in that book is not very deep into the book. He speaks on the fact that Africa was a hard land for humans to survive in. It was not a land that was very easy on human life, because of the structure of the land, the fertility levels of the soil, the rivers, and various other things. And when you read that from the Destruction of African Civilization, Chancellor Williams' book, it runs in direct contrast to the current pro-black theme of Africa being the Garden of Eden all over the continent. So every time I hear somebody say Africa was the perfect land all over the continent, I think back to that section of the book. And I'm like, well, they didn't read the book, either that or they read it and they just disagree.
Well, I think people say that just in to be a counter to the European stories they get about Europe being such a great land.
Look,
the same reason why they make movies like Dear White People, the same reason why black people still trying to give white people messages and have conversations with white people about racism. Stop trying to talk to white people. Because they keep trying to do that shit because they still stuck on some bull.
If you teach your kids facts and the truth, there will be no need to have to counter whatever bullshit narrative is being put out by the large society. Because facts are the best counter argument there is.
Hey, man, look. We need to get right. Or that bus is coming. Oh, the bus is coming. So, look here, Black America. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. The other dude that sound like he been drinking, that's Jamie. He been on that Mad Dog 2020. So, the Freedom Train Podcast. Hey, man, make sure y'all stay tuned. Make sure y'all support. And we do what we do, man. So, two fingers up like a player. You split them apart. And if you don't know, now you know. Peace.